Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 804 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. What, we got a full board. Lance, this has brought out more, I think, conversation and more in participation than anything we've seen in quite a while. It's very interesting. The Texans are directly influenced by this whole thing, though. They're directly involved in that. Brian Flores is one of their four candidates, and now we'll see. Boy, what an interesting hire if they do hire Brian Flores now, which is probably unlikely. More than I think the biggest odds are, he's probably the longest shot right now to be hired after all of this. But man, right. it sure would be interesting if they did, and a shot to the rest of the NFL, or at least to the lawsuit, if Brian Flores is hired by this team.
Hey, John, before we get back to the phone line, so, you know, Paul Miller from Jack's Grill, Union Kitchen, the guy who owns it, he was a former...
Is he bringing me food up here while you're in...
No, he's Mobile? Not, but oh. I'll wait until you're gone, and then we'll get some food up there.
All right.
He was a defensive lineman for Purdue, right? So he's played, goes to all the sporting events here in Houston, has tickets to him. He said, he makes an interesting point. I want to see what you think. He said, I'm listening to you guys talk about McCown, the organization, the fans, but what about the players? He said, in the room, free agency, and with all the young guys that are out there, do they have a level of respect for a guy like Josh McCown? They might. Like, that is a very – we're talking about being relatable to players, and he is a young – like, he is a young coach. I know he's in his early 40s, but that's still a young head coach. That's still considered a young head coach. Now, he's inexperienced, so I don't know. Do they look at it as an inexperienced guy, or do they look at it as a guy who's kind of a contemporary?
To me, are there any guys in that locker room that have pull –
that are left?
Okay, name all the guys in that locker room. That actually play, let's say, because Tunsil doesn't count because he just decided not to play anymore.
Right.
Name all the guys that are actually above average in the league NFL football players.
No, not many.
Yeah.
That's what makes the Texans – the Texans have a very transient locker room right now. It's not going to be the same. It's no different than what the Astros were when they were going through their stuff. What you see now is not what you're going
to
see.
Go try to do that in Pittsburgh. Go try to do that in New England.
Yeah.
Go try to do that with a veteran locker room with good football players, and they would rebel. These guys are just happy to be on an NFL football team. It's their last. They're hanging on to the NFL by a thread. If you get
why do you think they'd rebel?
Do you think if
Hines Ward was hired, the Texans would, or a veteran team would rebel?
No, but if Josh McCown was hired, they would.
You're saying it's a white thing, black thing?
No, I'm saying it's a no experience thing whatsoever. Hines Ward had played; it was a star in the league.
Yeah, but that doesn't
and an African American. Yes, that would matter.
Okay, so then you said it out loud. Okay, so but the star in the league thing doesn't really matter when you look at the great coaches that we've had in football, in baseball,
no,
basketball. That's kind of a
no.
Hey, listen, Jeff Garcia, Granato. Okay,
listen, but Josh McCown is such a reach, Lance, for a veteran football team be taking that guy on. It would be almost to the point of being ridiculous.
Yeah, but I don't think the players would like. I don't think it would be a player thing. If you had a former player, a guy who was in the league for almost 20 years, I don't think that's causing problems with players. In fact, I've heard that the Texans think it's a real strength. Is that the players like all the players who have had Josh McCown on the squad, like they like him. That's supposed to be one of his strengths. That's kind of how I look. I don't know if that's how Paul Miller meant it, But that's how I was looking at it, is it actually might be something where the guys who are in the locker room see kind of one of them. You know what I mean? Like there was a one of us mentality with and it was a veteran locker room when Mike Tomlin was hired, John. And you could have just said there's a veteran team with tons of leadership who did not, you know, and Mike Tomlin was in his 30s when he got hired. And they, I think you have to establish yourself. I think you're going to get checked by some of the veterans. I do think that's, you know, the case. And as you mentioned, the Texans don't really have that, so it's not a problem. Like, this might be the ground zero where this kind of thing could get have an honest shot, because they're not going to have those guys,
no,
like you mentioned.
No.
There's not those guys. There's core guys.
Nobody in there is going to be backstabbing, talking behind the back. Nobody's going to be, because they're just all so happy to be
in the
NFL.
Do you think the Flores stuff limits Josh's? Do you think the Texans go, uh-oh?
No, I think yes. I think they have to think twice. Absolutely. Let's
get
Austin.
Who are the other candidates?
Austin in here. Hey, Austin, what's going on?
Hey guys, I just want quickly on y'all's opinion. So there's an article that came out as soon as I woke up this morning from the Undefeated, basically just calling out about what the Giants did, what the Dolphins did, and I thought, you know, it's just kind of insane. I can't wait to see the investigation the NFL does and see what they do and how they kind of lay the law against them and kind of see what happens with that. Now, the only thing I didn't necessarily agree with that article is just the way they were trying to compare when, you know, black head coaches get fired after one season or after winning season, after, like, hey, you know, give these guys a longer shot. I didn't like the comparison that they used for Flores compared to Cully. Like, they were trying to compare them, saying that they're almost the same thing.
Right.
And it's not. And they're talking about Cully about how, like, well, look what happened last year for the Texans. They had Watson, they had Watt, and they had a similar season. I know with the one additional game, but they had a similar season with the amount of wins. And it's like, that's not really the same thing. Like, they talk about Watt being this 5-time Pro Bowl player and, you know, this, defense, 3-time defensive player here, like this amazing player. And it's like, Watt wasn't what he was. And I love Watt. You know, he's one of my favorite players of all time, but he wasn't what he was last year for the Texans. Right? I mean, he wasn't bad, but he wasn't this, like, defensive powerhouse. Right? And the rest of the defense wasn't that great. The offense wasn't that good around Watson. Watson did what he could, but even then, he wasn't, like, 100%. Like, at the end of the day, like, comparing Cully this season with Cully compared to, you know, last year of the Texans, like, with, I think, Cornell, right? Like, that's not the same thing. And Cully, and I think the reason why Cully ultimately got let go is because there was just some boneheaded moves that maybe Cully made during the season that, you know, front office didn't agree with. And I feel like at the end of the day, they do want a yes man. I would hope it's not because of color or anything like that, you know, is the reason why they, you know, let him go. I think at the end of the day, you know, Caserio, you know, the McNairs, they just kind of want a yes man right now at this moment until they get their team that they think they can be a contender with. But I agree with them. The article was great. I just think that comparison with the Texans just wasn't really, just, I don't know, it wasn't fair necessarily, wasn't correct.
But, all right, hey, we appreciate it. Thanks, Austin. Let's get quickly James in here before we take a break. Hey, James.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Love you guys. Hey, just a name that comes up that I've thought about for a long time. I'm wondering why Ken Norton Jr. Isn't considered. I know he's with Seattle. Didn't he leave last
fired.
Time? No, he was already fired. You
he
do
was
not
fired
want
for
Ken
being
Norton
terrible.
Jr. Yeah, he's bad. He's bad.
He was, he's not the guy. He's
okay,
not the
I just remembered the name and was wondering what was going on with him.
No, he's been fired because bad. Bad coaching.
Yeah, the guy I really want to see get another shot is Todd Bowles, and he's not going to excite anybody. He's an older coach now. He might be in his 60s. So, you know, he's a quiet guy. There's not a bunch of sass to him. He's not going to be a, you know, he's not dripping with anything. He's not going to be a rah-rah. Todd Bowles just knows how to coordinate a defense. I know he's a very good defense coordinator. I know that for a fact. But I also go off of what my dad told me being on that staff in Arizona with him. And he is a huge, huge Todd Bowles fan. And I just think Todd Bowles, his demeanor, the way that he operates with other coaches on the staff, I think the way that the players respect him, he's a guy that I think is going to get squeezed because – or maybe helped, actually. Because I was looking at the list of If you look at the list of black head coaches, there's a guy who everyone loves in Jim Caldwell. Now, I'm kind of got a bias against him because I've seen him stink at bad teams in college and the pros. But then when you go back and really get into Jim Caldwell, and I think some of it is because, you know, I've fallen into the bias of wanting a guy who's got a little bit more pep and energy and better on the microphone. You know what I mean? Because Lovey's a quiet guy. Tony Dungy. Think about this. Jim Caldwell, quiet guy. You ever hear Leslie Frazier talk? I never hear Leslie Frazier talk hardly at all. He's been a head coach. Jim Caldwell, Lovie Smith, Todd Bowles. There are certain head coaches who have gotten their shots that tend to be a little less gregarious, and I don't know if it's intentional or not. I don't think that has anything to do with whether you're a good coach or not. I mean, take your bias out of it. What your personal tastes are, okay, but that doesn't make you a bad or good coaching candidate. But I do. It does make me think out loud a little bit, like, are those guys the types of, you know, personalities that they want to have? Mike Tomlin's not like that. He's the opposite.
Jim Caldwell was a good coach in the NFL.
Jim Caldwell was considered, yeah, Jim Caldwell has a lot. It's just not an exciting hire, right?
No.
There's a lot of guys that aren't exciting hires.
No, but how about a winner? Dude's a winner.
That's what should matter, is finding a guy who gives you a great chance to win. And the Brian Flores thing, he strikes me as a guy who is a good hire, honestly. For Miami, what happened with him, I was surprised to find out about the behind-the-scenes stuff. Dell actually had a lot. He said Jeff Darlington. You know, one of the things that really hurt Brian Flores, he went through four offensive coordinators. He couldn't hire an offensive staff. There were actual football stuff there and personality stuff, but Brian Flores should have never been fired for football stuff. He had too many wins. Yeah. Like, you keep going with that. With that guy, except that there was issues behind the scenes with him, the owner, him, the GM, him, the quarterback. That's a lot.
8:15 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Man, we still got a full board here, so you guys want to get in on this, you're more than welcome. This is the place to air whatever thoughts you have. Right now, though, my thought is about my hair and Doc Linville, who it made my hair something special today. My hair is special because of Doc Linville. It was mangy. It was holy. It was really not attractive. It was something that was embarrassing. And if you're somebody who wants to get out of that, you just want to feel good about your head of hair, it's easy. All you got to do is go to 975hair.com. My man just takes care of business. He has grown into, he said he was the second. He might be moving in to the best and biggest of all of the hair replacement guys in the city of Houston. You're looking for a great, great way to get that hair that you want because you're sick of being bald. You're sick of the bald spots. You're sick of how it's thinned out, all of those things. Pick up the phone or go to the website, 975hair.com. That's 975hair.com.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit hrp.net today. Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Look, this game's done a lot for me. I grew up not far from here in the projects in Brownsville, Brooklyn. Didn't grow up with a lot. This game, you know, changed my life. So to attack the integrity of the game, that's what I felt was happening in that instance, and I wouldn't stand for it.
And that was Dolphins owner Stephen Ross.
Yes. Yes. So.
And you think it hurt your career?
I think it hurt my standing within the organization, and ultimately was the reason why I was let go.
It took a couple of years and a lot of behind-the-scenes other stuff going on. That was Brian Flores this morning on CBS This Morning. So he's making the rounds. He's going to be on ESPN today as well. He has really created quite the firestorm on a day we all thought that Tom Brady was going to be the big story, his retirement. Now, it's Brian Flores and what's going on in the NFL. Just one black head coach in the NFL. And you know what? Maybe Brian Flores is going to make a difference. He certainly, you know, you risk everything. is a he's putting his entire career on the line. Whether or not he'll ever be able to work again in the NFL is up for grabs. I know you guys in Lance is in Mobile, Alabama, talking with a lot of NFL people. What was the consensus there? Is this it for Brian Flores?
Well, I mean, I've only had a couple conversations because it came out later. So, what time did that come out yesterday?
It came out in the afternoon.
Yeah, we were at practice, so I didn't see it until later. And I think a lot of the guys weren't on their phone. I mean, you watch practices back to back. So, our practices were over by about 3:30 or 4:30. So, I don't know if it had come out by then because I don't remember talking to anybody. You know, one of the things they talked about was Texans hiring Josh McCown. That was something that was a topic for some of the people that I talked to, is they were just like, nothing surprises us. I saw Aaron Glenn. I said, hey, AG, I said, hey, I hope you don't mind. I put your name in the mix for the Texans. Just did my part. Just said it on the radio. I said, maybe it's just best that you didn't. I said, maybe you dodged a bullet. He goes, maybe so. And he went out because he's one of the coaches for he's a defensive coordinator for the Detroit Lions. But I think Aaron Glenn would have loved to have been interviewed and have his name in the mix. You know what I mean?
He should.
But they didn't reach out
D'Amico
to him.
D'Amico Ryan should have his name
just,
in the mix.
It just doesn't make sense.
It just makes zero sense. Zero.
It doesn't make any sense.
Because they're not Patriots. That's it. I'm more and more convinced. I don't either. It's or they don't go to the same church as Jack Easterby. I don't know. I don't know what the deal is, but it's just ridiculous what's going on here. Let's get James in here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Hey, James. James, you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Obviously, what happened to Brian Flores is BS. It's wrong, certainly with the Giants. I don't know whether it's bias or not, but certainly it was wrong. And hopefully, you know, this lawsuit will flesh out whatever, bias issues there are in the NFL. But the thing I wanted to talk about is something you mentioned earlier, John, which is bias in recruiting. And I got a kid just graduated from high school. I got one that's in high school now. And if you're a white kid playing a skill position, I mean, you're swimming upstream. And it's kind of the unspoken thing that but I've talked to coaches, and nobody really wants to talk about it. But college coaches aren't – I saw a kid, it was our best athlete, four-year starter. It was unbelievable. But he was a white skill player. Now, he was 5'10". He wasn't 6 foot, so he's not going to get a lot of looks anyway. But if you're a white skill player, you're swimming upstream. And you said it. I mean, you know, you had somebody say, like, I can't bring a white 6 foot – a wide receiver, you know, to a 7-on-7 tournament. And so I think there's a lot of that happening too. And I mean, that's obviously a completely different aspect of this, but I think there's bias for sure. Like there may be bias in the NFL, but there's bias in recruiting, and there's bias generally that's happening that people just aren't talking about, but it's a fact.
Yep.
And it sucks.
No, it is. It is. Listen, you know when you
it's racial
listen,
bias,
you're not going to get.
It's real.
You might love a kid, and listen. Some coaches will go out on a limb and they'll take a kid and they'll say, "I don't care. He's not. Oh, he's a 3-star. So what? I don't care." But you know, look at Texas A&M just won a national championship, and they got today. We got today's signing day, right? So we got that going on right now. I've got to show this fan base that I can recruit the biggest, the best, the fastest, the strongest. I've got to recruit an unbelievable looking athlete. Doesn't matter, but I got to recruit
4 and 5 stars.
Unbelievable looking athlete. Well, I could get a 3-star that's, you know, 6'3" and weighs 230. He could be a three-star.
Well, if you have traits, yeah.
But yeah, if you got traits, that's absolutely right. But if I bring in a 5'11" white wide receiver, the fan base is going to look. These guys can't recruit, and then you lose a couple of football games, and you've lost your credibility with a fan base. So it absolutely perpetuates itself. It absolutely does.
Well, I mean, with that said, Dabo Swinney has recruited some of those guys too. It depends on
well,
like
Dabo
you have to
won,
win.
Was in national championships for well, Dabo he, could Dabo could do that.
No, Dabo also had T. Higgins and
right.
DeAndre. I mean, like right. It was a combination, but he went and just got a good football player, and you know, he just went and got a good football.
He
player,
also got Brett Venables' kids who ruined their chance at the national championship.
That's a coach's son right. thing. But I would also say like John Metchie, right? John Metchie is a guy at Alabama that everyone assumes, oh, that's first, second-round guy. I watched tape on him. He's a third- or fourth-round guy. If he didn't have Alabama, and I had that confirmed yesterday from an assistant general manager with the team who said, yep, you nailed him. If he wasn't wearing an Alabama helmet, now this is just gets to bias. Mm-hmm. Okay, forget racial bias, but bias. If he wasn't, so the old saying is, don't grade the helmet, grade the player. If he wasn't wearing an Alabama helmet and he wasn't coming up at the same position that Jerry Jeudy and all these other guys, I don't think you would look at him the same. But we develop a bias. Yeah, is there a bias against white skill position players? Well, running back, wide receiver specifically, in corner, because you don't see, you know, you're not going to see that. Mm. Yeah, I mean, there's, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely there is. But Cooper Kupp, maybe, you know, maybe it's why guys get overlooked. It's also where they're from.
It's been a while now.
It's also where they're from.
Danny Amendola's and I mean, there's been plenty of.
You get Wes Welker, Julian Edelman.
Yes, yes.
Julian Edelman was a position change.
Yes.
You know, to be fair. Wes was a guy who ran in a 4.6s. Like, there were reasons they didn't go where they
were. Those guys having success actually opened the door for Cooper,
right.
Cooper Kupp. Absolutely.
Cooper Kupp, with that said, like, where was Cooper drafted?
Third round.
Where he was. Okay. I mean, and he was an incredibly successful college guy. Look, it doesn't matter where you get
at
drafted.
At a smaller
it
school,
you,
though.
Yeah. It matters how you play. Right. It matters how you play. I'm sitting here watching two guys. This draft is going to have a bunch of former tight ends turn offensive tackles who are going to get drafted in the first or second round. That's what's going to happen from small schools. Central Michigan, and I saw Major Applewhite and talked to him a little bit. And I was talking about Texas. I said, why is it that, I've got Central Michigan has two guys.
They got their kicker there. What are you talking about?
Dicker's there. But we were just talking about why is Texas, how do they not have, this is a guy who coached, this is a guy who's been at Texas, who played at Texas. I think he was on Texas staff, right? Then he was up with Nick Saban at Alabama on two different stints. And I said, Major, what is it about Texas that they can't get offensive line right specifically? And so we had a conversation about that. But it is bias plays into everything.
Absolutely.
It plays into a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And that's why analytics believes in eliminating all bias. But when they do that, I think they also eliminate some very helpful filters you have to have as well when it comes to decision making.
Let's get Leslie in here. She's been waiting. Is it a she or he?
Could be. It's Leslie
Frazier. Leslie's been waiting. Leslie Frazier is on with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Hey, Leslie.
Hey, it's Leslie.
Oh, okay.
Leslie.
Yeah.
Oh, not Leslie.
Oh, right, Wesley.
Wesley.
Yeah, Wesley.
Oh, Wesley.
Okay. So, John, I did the opposite of you. I moved from Texas to Chicago, so I'm sitting in the snow right now. But
that's
still
dumb,
to y'all guys.
That's so dumb.
Yeah. It's a regret. But what I wanted to bring up was Josh McCown. I wanted to ask y'all something because me and my friends have been in a big argument about this. I'm actually a Josh McCown fan, and the reason I say that is because I value his whole career was essentially sideline coaching at the backup quarterback position. So I know he doesn't have any direct coaching experience, but how much do y'all value, just being on the sideline and basically being a player's coach is almost his whole career? I'll hang up.
I think there's something to that. He's on the headsets all the time. I would think he was. I don't know. I don't know if he, you know, but there were guys that came up to him during his. He said Lovie Smith, and there was another coach that came up to him and said, you're going to make a great coach someday, and he was, you know, and taken aback. And then when it came up, oh, my gosh, he's been told that. Maybe he is. He's in that quarterback room, and he learned all, you know, about offense and did a lot of studying, and he had a lot of time to study because he wasn't playing, so he could certainly study. Maybe there's something to that. I'm not going to take that away from him. He's been in the NFL for a long time. I wouldn't, you know, just because you're not a coach doesn't mean you can't pick up a lot of good things from the league, but that there's so many things, so much that goes into head coaching in the NFL that it's more than just being there and staying there and watching it. There absolutely is something to the fact that he has been there and done it for all of those years, and he's really, really well-liked. It's just bring him along the right way. Don't throw him to the wolves like this. Every mistake that he makes, just like David Culley did, it's
my God.
It's magnified.
the national perspective on this, Josh McCown, is you've really done him a disservice by doing this. And I know pro Texans people are, you and John have done him a disservice because you've been complaining about this. Because this is a problem to hire on the heels of David Culley, who should not have been a head coach, to hire a guy with no coaching experience. You went to a less qualified guy. Like, do you don't think that what we're saying is not going to be parroted and echoed by everybody nationally and by local fans? Every Josh McCown mistake on a roster that's not going to be very good is going to be magnified, John. You're right. It's going to be – he is going to be killed. The Texans don't have anyone over there who can play chess. Like, they have nobody who thinks 2 and 3 moves in advance. Their moves are based on their own personal wants and desires. Like, Jack can think 2 and 3 moves ahead for what he wants to happen in terms of the power structure on the team and what he wants to happen from a hiring standpoint. Jack thinks ahead, but that's not for the good of the organization necessarily. It's the good of Jack Easterby. There's a big difference between thinking ahead for yourself and thinking ahead as an organization. And it's like they have no foresight at all. No foresight at all.
Zero, and they don't care. 831 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. Still calls coming in here. You guys get in if you've got thoughts on this. You're more than welcome. This has been the subject du jour, which is the
that's Huey Jennings.
Huey Jennings. That's not that has nothing to do with Brian Flores. What?
I know, but Huey Jennings will live in infamy.
I love Huey Jennings. Right now, though, I'm talking about I love Champion Energy too. You know how much I love Champion Energy because Champion Energy has saved me tens of thousands of dollars throughout the years. Tens of thousands of dollars. If you're looking for a great way to save money every single month, stop paying more for your electricity. It's just stupid. I don't want to call you stupid, but I'm just saying it's stupid what you're doing. So stop doing that and do what I do. And let's go with Champion Energy. Child, please. All you got to do is go to champion.energy/1560. Start saving money. Champion.energy/1560.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. The conversation continues on The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Well, I understand the risk. Look, I love coaching football. I'm called to coach football. I'm gifted to coach football. And I still want to coach. Let's be clear about that. But this is bigger than coaching. This is bigger than me. The numbers speak for themselves as far as the hiring, firing, and the lack of opportunities for minority and black head coaches and executives in the National Football League. And we need to change. We need things to change.
Brian Flores on CNN. He's on CNN. All right. Is he going to give equal time to Fox Sports, Fox News, rather? I don't know.
I'm not sure. He might.
He might. I don't know. I just think let's be politically correct here. There's two sides to this story. Fox will probably – I don't know what Fox would do with this story if you want to know the truth. Stay at CNN.
Well, they'd probably interrupt him like CBS did.
CBS did.
The whole time.
It was bad. Hey, big ups to our good friend Thomas McGahee, the coach, the special teams coordinator for the Giants. His son signed with the Cougs today. How about that? Tight end Trent McGahee. We're going to be watching him for the next few years here at the University of Houston. How about that? All right, way to go,
that's
coach. Great.
That's awesome.
That is awesome. I love that. That is so cool for a family. I'm telling you, it is so, so cool. And he can't. I bet his coach has got his chest puffed out today. That's awesome. Good for him. Good for the family. That is great. And right here, he's playing for the hometown team. Gary wants to talk about Coach Flores. What do you say, Gary?
Hey, Lance. Yeah, he'll definitely be on Tucker Carlson tonight, I'm sure, talking about this issue. but overall, I just want to say, and I mean, I'll just put it out there. I'm a black guy, born and raised Houston, Texas, corporate America, director level. And, like, racism is real, and I'm not one of those people who would say that it's not.
but I just feel like this is a totally, totally wrong approach. Number one, he had 3 years. We can definitely, you know, question whether he should have been fired or not. But some cases, there's more than wins and losses. There's been stuff reported about him inside the building. He's just coming off of the job. And frankly, just as a black man, like, you can't make people, like, hire you. You know what I mean? Like, these owners get to hire who they want to hire. I think the Rooney Rule is a good thing. At the end of the day, we've been trying to solve racism in America for, I don't know, about 400-plus years. We're still working on it. I think Flores' heart is in the right place, but you're going against a multi-billion-dollar enterprise. The only thing that's going to happen, you'll never get a deposition. They'll bury you with their lawyers. They'll probably pay you off, and then people will see you as a sellout just like Kaepernick. And the other thing I'll say, I'm an HR director. We interview people all of the time already knowing who we're going to hire, right? And, of course, I hate when people try to compare real life to the NFL, but just as a hiring practice, if I've already scheduled you for an interview, somebody blows me away before you come in, we still conduct our interviews. That's just how it works. I mean, maybe I see something in you and I change my mind. Who knows? But that's no smoking gun by any measure, the fact that they had already decided on Brian Daboll and they ended up, you know, still interviewing Flores. So overall, yes, it's definitely a problem, but a lawsuit is certainly not the way to solve it. That's my thoughts.
Yeah, you know, that happens. It does happen all the time. You know who you want, you got to go through the process. And you know what? And if it's it might be just wallpaper, but it is something that's got to happen. And it's actually kind of a good thing in that now Brian Flores doesn't need that. Brian Flores was probably a bad choice for them to go and interview because Brian Flores doesn't need experience in interviewing. There's a lot of guys in the league that do need experience in interviewing. And if they knew that it was going to be Brian Daboll, you know what? That you're right. It happens all the time in every business. So but yet you still have to go. You still have to follow the rules. But you know what? Be smart about it. If you're them, first of all, don't let it leak before you are even going to interview other candidates. And they obviously let it leak to Bill Belichick. That's stupid. You know what? They should be sued for being stupid. You can't do that. And it's such a small fraternity there that it's just it's mind-boggling to me that they would let that happen, that something like this could happen. And you know what? Belichick now is in the middle of it, and he's going to be in the middle of the depositions. Do you agree that he went about it the wrong way, though? That I don't know. I think this may look at everybody talking about this today. It just may bring out even more so how this system is working and how it's not working, actually.
I think so. You know, I think it's going to reignite some conversations. I do think ultimately I think he could have handled it different because his situation was a little bit more like what could come out now is they're going to put, I mean, this is a lawsuit. They're going to put Brian Flores' stuff out there too. So you're going to have more of that comes out publicly. I think he maybe could have handled it a little bit differently. I don't know that Bill Belichick's text is going to be the smoking gun that they think. I read the Undefeated article. I thought comparing it to saying that that's akin to a whistleblower and that text is akin to a whistleblower in a lawsuit against Big Tobacco. That was maybe a little bit of a reach. A little bit of an overstep, but it's going to open up. I guarantee you they're going to be talking about this today at practices if they can fade the rain that's going to be coming.
Huh?
So, yeah, it's going to create a lot more conversation. Look how many people that we've had call in that are interested in talking about this.
Well,
it's not like this is a new topic either.
Maybe it's going to wake teams up. Maybe these owners are going to wake up and say, you know, in this whole Texans thing, that they're a racist organization. They're a stupid organization, yes. But Bob McNair's legacy was this NFL team, and he put Rick in charge for how many? What was Rick? 8 years or so,
right?
Whatever he was, and actually Rick Smith. Some people thought he kept him too long. You don't hire a guy to run your organization. And your legacy, and think that he's racist. I just don't buy it. Plus, look at Romeo Crennel, Anthony Weaver, Lovie Smith. The Texans are never afraid to hire African Americans in important position, decision making positions. Those are important decisions. They're the play callers for your offense and defense. So this whole thing that, you know, this is a racist organization and they've got, they sure would show everybody if they hired Brian Flores now. I think the Texans have been showing for years that they're not afraid. They, you know, I think David Culley was just a farce and was just a show. But they did hire a black head coach. They did it. And I think that it's a joke for people to call this organization. I think it's a joke that this organization is called a racist organization because Bob McNair made one comment about the inmates running the prison. He mixed his metaphors. Really? That's why. Or he didn't Wait a minute. He also didn't like a Democrat in office. He's a Republican.
But you have that conversation with your team.
No,
it was
dumb.
You want to talk about being tone deaf.
No question, it was dumb. There's no question.
But it adds fuel. I'm not calling
them
a racist.
It's not a racist organization. It's a dumb organization.
It adds fuel to the fire, though.
Well, but because he didn't like when President Obama was elected.
You know what? The first African-American president, John. Everyone's excited about it.
You know what every rich guy said that day? Damn it. How did that guy win?
John, I get that, but how was he so tone deaf to think that guys who had seen
He's not racist. It was dumb. I said racist, dumb.
I get that, but what I'm telling you is we both know that when you stack both of those things up because, you know, Dwayne Brown put that out there after the other stuff.
Wait a minute. Dwayne Brown put that out there when he couldn't get a contract with the team. Now, all of a sudden, he was trying to get his contract and he wanted to play here and he'd been playing here and never said a word. But when he couldn't come to terms on a contract, he wants out. All of a sudden, it's a racist organization. Okay, whatever. He used that to get out of here. And you know what happened? He got out of here. So,
no question.
Look at the timeline on it. They weren't a racist organization until he couldn't come to terms on a contract. All right, we got to take a break. 845 ESPN, 97.5, still a full board. Gilbert wants to weigh in on this too, but we got to talk about your patio first, Lance.
Yeah, my patio is it's great because we go out. It is a place to go and escape, or it's a place to go and enjoy the great weather. And when you have a kitchen built into it, and that's your choice, you can have just your space completely redesigned, where they have a gabled roof that you know is that peaked roof, so you have so much more space. They'll put whatever type of fans you want in there to help you. They can put, you know, help you get the heaters put in there. They get the big screen TV. The sound system is up in the roof. I mean, you can have a fire pit built in. You can have fireplace built in, an entire table that is built into your bar area where you've got this, you know, depending on your space, they can build a granite bar, a countertop, for, you know, an island to cook, and there's another one where people can sit with chairs. Like, you can truly get an amazing outdoor space, an outdoor kitchen. They can turn that into a reality for you. If you've seen it on other people's houses, if you've gone through Twitter or Instagram, rather, if you've watched your TV shows and you said, man, I wish I had that, you can't have that. They'll finance it for you, and they can get it taken care of. And the great thing is when it's time to sell your home, oh, it's going to return in value and then some. TexasCustomPatios.com. It can be as simple as something that I did. Go to TCPLance.com and go see the before and after and what they did for our space. It's truly incredible. TCPLance.com, and then go find them on Instagram and see the work that they're doing, and they can truly turn your house into a home. Texas Custom Patios.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston.
Hello.
The conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
What I'm saying, Fitzpatrick and a guy like Derwin James, they don't need nobody to be successful. They're going to be successful no matter what situation you place them in.
It's Troy Aske.
Oh, man, he can run.
Why are you surprised, Dan?
Well, you know why I'm surprised. I can't say it on TV, but he...
I mean, was Dion.
Oh no! I thought we had the whole thing.
Yeah, what happened?
I was there on. I was there doing the combine broadcast.
At him, yeah.
He's like, "What? See if you can find it, Tyler. If you can find the whole thing, because Dion goes. He's like, he can run. Wait a minute. Hold on a second. He pulled like the NFL told us we're not allowed to talk to players to grab them when they're in the middle of the combine. Dion's like, nah. He would go on the field and grab them. You know, the NFL Network guys would walk around and stuff, but they're not supposed to interact with the players. Dion went immediately to him and said, here, listen to the whole thing. We talk about bias, confirmation. I mean, you want to talk about bias with players?
Mm-hmm.
Listen to Deion Sanders. Troy
Apke. So this is Deion on the NFL Network during the combine.
Yes.
Apke is a white kid who's running.
Troy Apke is a safety.
Yes.
He tested off the charts. He ran a 4.35.
Right. So here's Deion.
Deion was a bit surprised.
They're going to be successful no matter what situation you place them in.
It's Troy Apke.
Oh, man, he can run.
Why are you surprised, Dan?
Well, you know why I'm surprised. I can't say it on TV, but he can run.
He was a track guy.
Right.
He was a track guy.
But you're saying it with
you don't
tone.
See that much.
You're saying it in tone.
Let's call him what it is. I like that,
he
man.
He just ran 4.35.
Hey, man, let me go hug
at
him.
At 215 pounds.
I'm going to hug him. Hey, man, that was good, man. You can run.
Excuse me, 200 pounds.
I try. Are you mad? Good job.
There's systemic racism in the NFL.
It's kind of like, did I ever tell you at the time I was playing it wasn't pickup ball. We were in some kind of league. It was me and a guy named Eric Racklin, who was a linebacker at Tulane. Erak, he was from the Bay Area. And he was there over the summer. Erak was staying in Louisiana. And he and I got in some kind of, I don't know, we were in a basketball league. And it was like, you know, it was in some spots in New Orleans. It wasn't like, you know, Metairie and Kenner. Like, it was some spots in New Orleans. And went into, you know, I was the only white guy on the team. I think there was two of us. And there was only like seven of us on the team. And we went into, because we got into this team late, like we were add-ons. We went into this gym. And I don't know all the parts of New Orleans, but this spot in New Orleans was like, I got in there and everyone's looking at me. And there was a decent amount of people in the gym. Now, we got beat in this game. But towards the end of the game, I had this move. You know, I had like a little spin dribble, like a fake spin dribble back, came back, and then spun again and made a left-hand layup. And because I'm – and I fully know why, but because I'm the white boy doing that, it's like, oh, like the whole gym busted. That's one of the greatest feelings of my life. I made a black gym go crazy. But that's what Troy Apke
mm-hmm.
That's what Troy Apke just did.
That's what he did to Deion. All right, Mike's been waiting a half an hour. Let's get him in here. Hey, Mike, what's going on?
Good morning, guys. I love the show.
Thanks, man.
This is my second time calling. I wanted to talk about Flores a little bit and the NFL as a whole. The NFL has been a racist type organization since its inception. So let's start there. In its evolution, definitely it's gotten better in a lot of areas, but the Flores situation is a situation that's happening to a great number of qualified individuals in the NFL, and you guys touch on it because you bring up names like Bienemy and D'Amico Ryan and people like that who aren't getting a fair shot. In my opinion, in my observation, you know, going back to, say, like, let's use Kaepernick as an example. Teams would rather lose than give this man an opportunity to make them better at a time when he was at, you know, right at the height of his abilities as a quarterback. And Flores is the same way to me. He has a great deal of experience and knowledge of the game. And he's shown that he can make a program competitive. Yet and still, you know, he's in a situation he's in right now. And as far as his lawsuit isn't going to go anywhere. He is going to be the coaching equivalent of Kaepernick because the good old boy system is going to lock him out, and they're going to lock out anybody that supports him. And to me, that's the problem. You know, nobody's going to support, nobody black is going to support Flores because they don't want to be the sacrificial lamb, you know, with this cause. And that's the reason this continues to go on. And lastly, with McCown, when the Houston Texans hire McCown as their head coach, they're going to get everything they deserve, because that's crazy that he's even in consideration. And the fact that they interviewed him twice in 12 months with no experience shows you, you know, in a capacity that the levels of good old boy, the levels of exclusion and the levels of racism in the NFL. Again, I love the show, guys. I love you guys' perspective. I'll listen now.
Appreciate it, man.
Isn't keeping it real. I think, you know, the Kaepernick thing to me gets overblown a little, as somebody who really was studying and writing about football heavily at that time, NFL football particularly at that time. Colin was not at his best then. His best year was when Jim Harbaugh introduced the zone read stuff and the league wasn't ready for it. They finished 12-4.
He should have gotten a chance, though, if it wasn't for this stuff, because there were piss poor quarterbacks that were playing and
two separate issues.
Yeah,
I'm
right,
just
right,
saying.
Right. But here's the deal: is a lot of guys did not stand behind Colin. Eric Reed is one who continued on the campaign, but there weren't. You know, Malcolm Jenkins obviously had some issues, and he and Eric Reed had some issues. But there was still a charge. But there weren't a lot of guys that jumped on board, and I think he may be right. Mike may be right in that, is that there aren't a lot of guys that are going to get behind Brian Flores here and go, yes, you know what, we need to, because you're going to be something. Brian Flores is really risked his entire career on this thing.
Yes.
Now, I will say this, Colin Kaepernick has, you know, is actually an activist and has made a name and has got a future in activism. I don't know what that pays. I don't know how that puts food on the table or whatever the case may be. But from here on out, Brian Flores is going to be the model of someone who actually stood up and said, I'm not going to take it anymore.
Yes, Colin was willing to risk his career. So Colin Kaepernick at the time, I think it gets overstated about how, you know, Mike said in the heights of his career. I mean, he had just come off a season where he was 1-10, his team, and he didn't complete 60% of his passes. Like, Colin as a passer had really – his lifetime completion percentage was below 60. He was inaccurate. But what he was he was a low-end starter to good backup. Colin Kaepernick could not be a backup in the league because of what happened. We know that. That's true. That's 100% true. Colin Kaepernick was was he one of the 64 best quarterbacks? You know, QB1, QB2. Absolutely. There's no way around it, because he was dual threat and he was good enough passing. He took care of the football well enough. He rarely had an interception percentage over 2%. So there's no question about all that stuff. I think the Texans thing is a little less about exclusion and a little bit more about who do I like? Who do I want? Who's like me? Which is the same bias. It's the same thing we're talking about. But I don't think it's a matter of the Texans are looking to exclude people. I think they want to have people who are patriot-driven or down-with-Jack type of stuff. And I think that is exclusive in and of itself. But I think they want to include just people who fit into their – like, I think they would love to have, in theory, except for some of the stuff that went on in Miami, you know, the Brian Flores, Jared Mayo are the type of guys – although I say that, Jared Mayo never even got an interview here.
No, right.
With the Houston Texans.
That was shocking.
D'Amico Ryan's also, from what I understand, maybe kind of waiting his turn because he doesn't like some of the jobs that are out there.
Is
it the worst thing in the world to wait and pick your own spot,
Lance,
where it looks like a good spot?
Lance, I think you're way off on this thing. First question is, what church do you go to? That's it.
Okay.
That's the first question. And you know what? I'm all for spiritual men. Doesn't have to be the overriding factor on whether or not you can work in the Texans organization.
There's only one reason that he's gotten the interviews, and it's he met Jack at an FCA
that's
team.
That's it. That's
the only reason that's he's getting these. I mean, that's
McCown,
not.
That's why McCown is front and center.
They may be mutually
exclusive. All right, 901, we got to take a break.
A good quarterback, but come on.
Lance is in Mobile. I'm in Houston. Time for us to talk, both of us, to talk about Aqueduct Plumbing. Now, already? Here is the number, 281-488-6238. 281-488-6238. Mary is probably going to answer the phone, more than likely. She's Billy's sister, and she's got a lot of stories. Tell her that they were talking about her on the show, okay? She is something special. She really is. They've got a lot of funny stories about Mary. But here's the deal is you don't, you know what? You might not care about that. What you care about is I've got some leaky pipes. What you care is I'm hearing noises when I turn on my water. What you care is I don't get any hot water when I turn on my shower. What's going on here? Well, all of those things and more Aqueduct Plumbing can solve. They are awesome, awesome, awesome. And here's the thing, Lance. They come to your house. They're going to do the work, and they're also going to give you a free estimate.
Yeah, and that's a big deal because a lot of those companies say, okay, it's not $79.95 if we come out, and then if you hire us, we will apply that to the work. Well, now you're already stuck $79.95, so now that's how they hook you. Right? That's how they hook you. And that's why it's stuff like that that pisses me off. It's the reason why, you know, you can't trust those companies. They're already trying to stick you right up front. That's not the way they do business at Aqueduct. They'll come out there, they'll give you an estimate, and they already know their work is going to be good. They're not going to try to sell you something you don't need. And that's the reason John and I speak for them is because we trust them. We finally have a plumber that we can trust and believe in who they've already come out and done work for us. And guess what? They did it quickly, they did it inexpensively, and they did it in a manner in which it should be done, and that's why we speak for them. TheBenchPlumbing.com, TheBenchPlumbing.com. Go see all the services they offer. Take their phone number down, and when you have any issues that you need fixed, it's TheBenchPlumbing.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience, with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com, Upwork.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.